Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. So we're continuing our reading from the seventh canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. What's the title of the chapter? What is Narada Muni speaking about? Instructions to civilized human beings. So, raise your hand if you're civilized. Yes, you think so? According to the Bhagavatam, you're not civilized if you're not fully classified in Varna and Ashrama. You have to know what your Varna is, you have to know what your Ashrama is, and you have to act accordingly. That makes you civilized. So, how many Brahmanas do we have in the room? Put your hand up if you're a Brahmana. No Brahmanas. How many Kshatriyas? Put your hand up. One hand in the back. Shoryam Tejajiti Daksha. Udhyachapya Palayanam. All these things apply to you. Strength. Not running from the battle. All these things apply to you. So we have to know. This is not just a theoretical discussion here. If we want to be considered as civilized, we have to be, according to the Bhagavatam, classified by Varna and Ashram. So you have to be either a Brahmana, a Kshatriya, a Vaishya, or a Shudra. Nothing less than that. And you have to be either a Brahmachari, a Grihastha, a Vanaprastha, or a Sannyasi. You have to be in one of those four Ashrams. So let us recite the verse and then we'll continue our discussion. So seventh canto. And let's see. We're in chapter 15 and it's a double verse, 38 and 39, but I think 38 is on the board. Grihastasya starts out. Okay, yeah. So we'll recite that one and I'll do the second one. Grihastasya. Kriya, Tiago, Vrata, Tiago, Vator, Api, Tabasvino, Grama, Seva, Bhikshur, Indriya, Lolata, Grihastasya Kriya, Tiago, Vrata, Tiago, Vator, Api, Tapasvino Grama Seva Bhikshur Indriya Lolata Grihastasya Kriya Tyago Vrata Tyago Vatorapi Tapasvino Grama Seva Bhikshur Indriya Lolata Grihastasya Kriya Tyago Vrata Tyago Vatorapi Tapasvino Grama Seva. It's not Grama, it's Grama. You have to pronounce the diacritics properly. It's not Grama, Grama. Everybody say Grama. So it's Tapasvino Grama Seva. Bhikshur Indriya Lolata. Please chant. Grihastasya Kriya Tyago Vrata Tyago Vatorapi Tapasvino Grama Seva Bhikshur Indriya Lolata Grihastasya Griha Tyago Vrata Tyago Vatorapi Atvasvino Grama Seva Bhikshur Indriya Lolata Grihastasya Kriya Tyago Vrata Tyago Vatorapi Tapasvino Grama Seva Bhikshur Indriya Lolata. Vaishnavis, Grihastasya Kriya Tyago Vrata Tyago Vatorapi Tapasvino Grama Seva Bhikshur Indriya Lolata. Grihastasya Kriya Tyago Vrata Tyago Vatorapi Tapasvino Grama Seva Bhikshur Indriya Lolata. Grihastasya Kriya Tyago Vrata Tyago Vatorapi Tapasvino Grama Seva Bhikshur Indriya Lolata. Very good. Okay, I'll recite the next verse. Ashrama pasada hete kalva ashrama vidambanaha deva maya vimodhangstan upekshetana kampaya. So since all the words are not on the board, we won't do the synonyms because you won't be able to follow properly. So we'll go to the translation. It is abominable for a person living in the grihastha ashram to give up the regulative principles for a brahmachari not to follow the brahmachari vows while living under the care of the guru, for a vanaprastha to live in the village and engage in so-called social activities, or for a sannyasi to be addicted to sense gratification. One who acts in this way is to be considered the lowest renegade. Such a pretender is bewildered by the external energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and one should either reject him from any position or, taking compassion upon him, teach him, if possible, to resume his original position. Please repeat. It is abominable for a person living in the Grihastha ashram to give up the regulative principles, for a brahmachari not to follow the brahmachari vows while living under the care of the guru, for a vanaprastha to live in the village and engage in so-called social activities, or for a sannyasi to be addicted to sense gratification. One who acts in this way is to be considered the lowest renegade. Such a pretender is bewildered by the external energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And one should either reject him from any position or, taking compassion upon him, teach him, if possible, to resume his original position. Srila Prabhupada's purport. We have repeatedly stressed that human culture does not begin unless one takes to the principles of Varnashram Dharma. Although Grihastha life is a concession for the enjoyment of sex, one cannot enjoy sex without following the rules and regulations of householder life. Furthermore, as already instructed, a brahmachari must live under the care of the guru. Brahmachari gurukule vasandanto gurur hitam. If a brahmachari does not live under the care of the guru, if a vanaprastha engages in ordinary activities, or if a sannyasi is greedy and eats meat, eggs, and all kinds of nonsense for the satisfaction of his tongue, he is a cheater and should immediately be rejected as unimportant. Such persons should be shown compassion, and if one has sufficient strength, one should teach them to stop them from following the wrong path in life. Otherwise, one should reject them and pay them no attention. Namah Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Nityanamani. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschacchade Shtarine Om Agyana Tibirandasya Agyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unvilitam Jena Tasmaya Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtang Stapitang Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sopadantikam Vandehang Shri Guru Shri Tapadakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavangscha Shri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tangsajivam Sadvaitam Sabadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitangscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindabaneshri Vishamanu Sute Devi Pranamami Haripre Vanchako Paturubhyascha Kripa Sindhume Evacha Patitanang Pavanevhyo Vaisnavevhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this class is evidence of the dangers of staying on Facebook late at night. Bhagavad Kripa Prabhu was scheduled to give today, but he probably noticed I was on Facebook and he sent me a Facebook message. Prabhu, I'm not feeling well. Can you give class tomorrow? So that's why I'm sitting here. Now, Narada Muni is speaking to whom? Yudhishthira. So that's maybe why the order is starting out with Grihastha. I was wondering about that because normally, you know, we say Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyas. But in this particular instruction, he starts out with mentioning the Grihasthas first. Maybe it's because he's speaking to Yudhishthira, who is a Grihastha. So very important, very germane to our existence today, even though this was spoken thousands of years ago, that it's important to take these classifications seriously. If one is a Grihastha, it's being pointed out here, you have to follow the rules and regulations. It's not that I am married and therefore I can do whatever I want. That's not the Vedic conception. These varnas and ashrams are meant for purification, all of them. That one gradually becomes purified and becomes qualified to go back to Godhead. That's why that verse is there. Varna shamacharya hutta purushena parakpavan. Vishnu aradate panta nanya tatosh karanam. That this varna ashram system is meant for Vishnu toshan. It's meant for pleasing Lord Vishnu. It's not just a rubber stamp. This is Brahman and this is Kshatriya. No. All of those varnas and all of those ashrams, everybody's meant for acting in such a way that they're life's activities are pleasing to Lord Vishnu, to Krishna. So for the Grihastha, it's a very responsible ashram. Technically speaking, the Grihastha ashram is the only one in which income is generated. Technically speaking. Because even the Kshatriyas, they're taking their income from the Grihasthas. The Grihasthas are producing money. If you're a Brahmana Grihastha, you're allowed to beg. If you're a Kshatriya Grihastha, you're allowed to take tax. If you're a Vaishya Grihastha, you're supposed to create income by agriculture and trade. And if you're a Shudra Grihastha, then you assist the other higher castes and that's how you get your living, livelihood. The Brahmacharis are supposed to go out and beg. They're not supposed to be producing income. Not that Brahmacharis are working in factories and that's not the conception. Sometimes some of our leaders in desperate times have come up with such ideas. The temple needs money. Why don't we create some cottage industry to employ the Brahmacharis? That's not what Brahmacharis are meant for. Brahmacharis are meant for preaching and collecting alms in regards to preaching. Not for working in some industry for producing. Because the temple community is not meant for producing money. Yes, money is required. Money is required in every activity. You have to have some money. You have to have land. You have to have building. All these things require money. But the temple is not meant to engage in financial activity. It's primarily meant for dissemination of spiritual knowledge. And in that regard, money should come. Those who are intelligent enough to know that this is it's a prime necessity of human life, they will naturally want to donate. And then the temple is allowed also for selling literature, for getting money in that way. But it's not primarily a money-making enterprise. It's an enterprise for dissemination of spiritual knowledge. So here again, it's stressed that the Grihasthas, even though there's a concession for enjoying sex, it must be done under rules and regulations. Now, sometimes in our society, people question, how did Prabhupada expect that young Westerners in the prime of their youth are going to follow this instruction? How is it possible? This is where the cooperation between husband and wife comes in. Cooperation in grihastha life means how to save each other from falling off the cliff in this regard. Prabhupada right here once said, in this very temple, he said, all of my disciples are beautiful, the women are beautiful, but it doesn't mean that every time the wife smiles, there should be sex life. In other words, control yourself. By the time we get to Srimad Bhagavatam, well, to speak of the seventh canto, it means that we already studied Bhagavad Gita, which means at least theoretically we understand we're not this body. Every one of us has a body, gross and subtle bodies. We understand what they are. Gross body is actually that. It's gross. So if you spend your life being attracted to the gross body, there's something wrong. You're not going to get very far. So we should have impetus for elevating our consciousness beyond attraction to this gross material body. If we have not yet developed such impetus, then we're not associating properly, we're not hearing properly from the Guru. This is the first impetus that one should develop. That I'm being embarrassed in this material world. I'm being embarrassed by so many miseries, and I'm being embarrassed by being attracted to that which is not really attractive. This is the understanding. And so Bhagavad Gita says the only way you can get out of that is to develop a higher taste. And that higher taste comes from worshipping Krishna. Serving Krishna, that's where we get the higher taste. When we serve Krishna under the instructions of Krishna's representative, the spiritual master, then we gradually develop a higher taste. We become attracted to transcendental activities, not just mundane material activities. So, and if we're not on that platform, then we have to associate with those who are on that platform. This Sankirtan Marathon is a opportunity for doing that. If you don't normally take the opportunity to go out and distribute books, at least in this 1 month, try to spend at least a few days going out, associating with those who do it regularly, like Shastakrit Prabhu, Brigapati Prabhu, and one gets a taste for doing it. I've experienced that many times myself. Generally, I'm in the office all the time, but during the marathon, I try to go out. And when we used to have the airport, I used to always make a point of going out with Brigapati Prabhu, because I know he's the most fired up. And most likely to ignite a little fire under me. And yeah, I remember so many incidents of being with him. I remember once we were in the airport, and this O.J. Simpson came through. He had a couple of his kids with him, and Brigham immediately went up to him and tried to engage him. So they were going to catch the flight. So they went. I think the daughter was flying out, and he had his son with him also. So after the flight, he was coming back with the son, and again Brigham approached him. And he was trying to brush him off, but the son wanted the book. And actually instructed him to give a donation. Right, Brigham, remember? And he was saying, I think he even said, I don't know why I'm giving you this money. He even said that. He didn't want to, but because his son was attracted to the book, he had to do it. So, like that. And, the devotees, when we're out there distributing, we're noticed. The people notice. Like, a couple of weeks ago, I was out with Shastakrit and crew. We went to Pasadena. And, as soon as we arrived, there was time for me to chant Gayatri. So I sat down on a bus stop bench, and I was chanting my Gayatri. And a couple came and stood right next to me. And they were noticing the devotees distributing. They were saying, look at those guys. What are they doing? Looks like they're giving out some books or something. So I had to break my Gayatri and give them a book. I gave them a Gita, and they bought the Gita, and we had a nice little discussion. So people noticed what we're doing, and they're attracted. They're attracted. So the grihastha, the only way, not just the grihastha, everyone in the material world is attracted by sex life. And the only way to move beyond that attraction is to develop a higher taste. Vishaya vinivartante, nirarhasidehinam, rasavarjam rasopyasya, param drishtva nivartate. That the embodied soul may be restricted from sense activity. But the taste for sense gratification remains. But seizing such activity by receiving a higher taste, we become fixed in consciousness. So if we don't desire that higher taste, it's very difficult to attain that higher taste. Even if we come in contact with the spiritual path, just like today is the disappearance of Devananda Pandit, we'll say a few words about him at the end. He was a very paka personality, behaved properly, was a brahmachari, took a vow to remain brahmachari, wasn't cheating. He was very, very knowledgeable, knew the Bhagavatam. He was giving classes on the Bhagavatam, but he was not a devotee. He desired liberation. And so he was teaching Bhagavatam from that perspective. And therefore, Lord Chaitanya did not appreciate him and actually chastised him. We'll discuss that a little later. So the grihasthas must follow the regulative principles. What to speak of the brahmacharis? You must. At least while living under the care of the guru, one should not fall down. A few days ago, we heard recommendation, brahmacharis, sannyasis should not associate with women. But that doesn't mean that you go like this now and walk around with your hand over your eyes. That's also, that extreme is also foolish. And Prabhupada pointed that out. Once he saw some brahmacharis walking out of a temple during the japa period. So he asked, where are they going? And so somebody told him, well, you know, they don't want to chant in the temple with the matajis. They, you know. So Prabhupada said, if you can't chant in the temple with your mother, then you should go live in the forest. And he also said, if when they go out on the street, you don't think they're going to see women out there? It's foolish. I'm running away from the women in the temple, but I'm going to see women on the street. So the real problem is with the consciousness. It's not where you are, whether you're in the temple or out of the temple. The real problem is with one's consciousness. So the consciousness is the brahmachari is trained from early years to see every woman as mother. And when they're raised in that consciousness, then it's not difficult for them to approach a woman and say, mother, please give some alms. It's not that they were trained to run away from the women. No, they were trained to see all women as mother, and therefore they could go to mother and ask for some alms, some donation for the ashram, without any agitation. But of course, most of us, we don't get training from 5 years old, as Pallad recommends. Many of us, we come in as completely rotten 20-year-olds or 25-year-olds. So it takes some time to get over that hump. But one should understand again, at least theoretically, what the ideal is and strive for it. Not artificially, you know, it can't be done artificially. You can't run away from your own consciousness. Wherever you go, your mind goes with you. So you have to face up to it and desire purification, because that's the only way. So the brahmachari has to behave properly, especially while living under the care of the guru. Grihasthas have to follow the principles. Vanaprastha. Vanaprastha traditionally means that one retires from family life and goes to the forest and performs severe austerities. They're itemized in the Bhagavatam. One only wears tree bark and only eats, you know, fruit that falls from the tree, and very, very severe. So in our society today, we're not recommending that. We don't recommend that the householders become vanaprastas that go to the forest and perform. No. The recommendation is that when one gets to the vanaprastha stage, then one should travel with wife and preach. Or if you're staying in a particular community, then try to preach and pass on your experience to the younger devotees like that. In other words, make preaching the prime aspect of your life. Focus on that. And forget now about the family responsibilities and children not married yet and all that kind of stuff. No, because that will never end. That will never end. That was pointed out, Prabhupada said. It will never end. If you stay in a grihastha mentality, then, you know, you come to the age where you want to retire. The wife will never allow you. No, you know, the youngest son is not married yet. This is not taken care of yet. That is not, no, never get out. So you have to be determined that at this, now I'm ready at this stage and I'm not going to let anything hold me back. Are you coming with me? Okay, come, we go and preach. Otherwise, you should go off by yourself and preach. Don't remain entangled forever in family affairs. Yeah, but one has to do it also in full consciousness. Prabhupada used to say in India, they're, you know, generally the men marry women that are younger than them. So the man, first of all, he gets to the stage he wants to retire. So he says, okay, my dear wife, I'm going to leave all my crores and lakhs of rupees for you, and I'm going to retire to Vrindavan, and you send me 200 rupees a month, and I will live on that. So Prabhupada said, Krishna is not so foolish. If you come to Vrindavan, you're only 200 rupees a month for Krishna, he'll be 200 rupees a month for you. You see? He's leaving the fortune for the family, and he's coming to Vrindavan with 200 rupees. So Prabhupada said, Krishna will be for you 200 rupees. Yayatama prabhante, tangsatara pujami. As they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. So if you're approaching Krishna with 200 rupees a month mentality, he will be for you 200 rupees a month. So you may say, well, you know, I am foolish, jiva, I don't. No, Krishna's a person. He's a person, and he's seeing everything that you're doing. And he will reciprocate with you accordingly. So when it's time to retire, you should give the bulk of the money to Krishna. This is Rupa Goswami's example. He was very, very wealthy after years of government service. He had a boatload of gold, coins. 50% for Krishna's favor. 25% for the family and 25% he kept for emergencies. That is the Vaishnava example. Not that 50% for the family, because what are they going to do if they're not Krishna conscious? They're just going to waste it. As a matter of fact, in many wealthy families, the children can't wait for the parents to die so they can take the money and waste it. So why leave money for such, you know, rascals? You know, give it to Krishna's service. That's proper use of money. And then the sannyasi is mentioned here. The sannyasis are supposed to be on the platform, at least if they're not completely self-realized, at least seriously striving for that and nothing else. That is the motivation of the sannyasi. So if one is externally appearing to be a sannyasi, and probably specifically addressing some people here in India who professed to be sannyasis, but they were eating meat and carrying on all kinds of nonsense activities. So Prabhupada is condemning that. However, the Vaishnava is so compassionate, Prabhupada ends his, it's recommended in the verse itself, and also Prabhupada ends his purport, that one should show compassion to such persons. In other words, if you know better, and you should set a better example and help those if they're willing to be helped. But quite often they're not willing to be helped. They're not willing to be helped. We have example. So many so-called practitioners of bhakti, and they have bhakti fest and this fest, you know, but if you try to engage them in real Krishna consciousness, which is a real bhakti marg, a real bhakti path, they get upset, angry, because they want to be able to chant Hare Krishna and drink a little wine and, you know, smoke a little whatever and call themselves devotees. But that's not to the standard. And when those who are real devotees approach them and tell them they're misbehaving and this is not recommended, they get angry. Right, Sura? They get upset. Sura is always preaching to these, you know, in this yoga camp, and he knows from first-hand experience that they're not on the highest platform, but they think themselves to be on the highest platform. And if you, you know, dare to give them instruction, they get upset. So that's why Prabhupada said, if possible, and if they want to be rectified, you can correct them. But if they don't want, then it's better to just shun them. Stay away from them. And this should, one should only preach in such camps if one is strong oneself. Because if you're not strong, and we've seen it happen many times, you know, devotees who are not strong, and they go out and so-called they want to preach to these people, and they wind up getting sucked in. You know, Prabhupada said, the art of preaching is to go fishing, catch the big fish without getting wet. You know, you claim to be a fisherman, you're trying to catch big fish, and the fish pulled you in. So one has to be very strong in order to preach to people who are off the track and rectify them without getting contaminated oneself. So these are some points here. If there's any discussion on this before I say a few words about Devananda Pandit. Yes, Brigapati Prabhu.
Prabhu, on that point of you know, the grihastha when he enters into the either vanaprastha or sannyas ashram, should utilize his wealth in Krishna's service. Raghunath Das Goswami was from a very wealthy family, and initially he was utilizing some of his father's wealth to serve the Vaishnavas. He put on that feast at Panihati, but then eventually he renounced that when he went to Jagannath Puri, and you know, he was just begging and living very renounced life. And Lord Chaitanya was pleased by that. So,
yeah. Well, every case is different. The pure devotee means the pure devotee does exactly what the Lord wants. So in his case, that's what the Lord wanted. The Lord wanted to show that even if you come from a wealthy background, it is possible to renounce that wealth and become an emblem of renunciation, which is what he did. He became so renounced that we can't even conceive of engaging in that type of renunciation. But that's what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted from Raghunath Das. Whereas you take King Partaparudra, he didn't tell him to renounce. And no, he remained a very wealthy king, but he was also accepted as a great devotee. So each case is different. It's not that everybody has to follow Raghunath's example or follow Partaparudra's example. Generally speaking, indication will be there how individual. But in general, the point is that if you have accumulated wealth, how to dispose of it at the end is what I was discussing. If you have accumulated wealth, either as a Vaishya or as a, you know, Kshatriya or whatever, the proper way to dispose of it is the example that Rupa Goswami set. again, because our natural tendency is that we want to leave it for the heirs, you know, the family. Mm-hmm. But in most cases, it's just going to be a wasted, you know, waste of money. Yeah. So the Rupa Goswami said the example that 50% you give for Krishna Seva, 25% for the family, you don't neglect them, and then 25% for personal emergencies. That was the example that he said.
Is there any details given of, as to exactly what Rupa Goswami did with that 50%? I mean, we know he gave 50% towards, but you didn't give it to Lord Chaitanya.
I don't know. There may be somewhere, if anybody knows. I don't know exactly how he used it in, for Krishna Seva. Did he, you know, like give it to a temple here or whatnot? But we know later on when he was approached, when he became one of the six Goswamis in Vrindavan, and he was performing ostensibly severe austerity. It's not severe austerity when you're emerging in the ocean of bliss. You know, to live under a tree, is you don't even notice it. Like he was out in the sun one day, you know, studying, and he didn't even notice the sun. And Radharani came herself and shaded, you know, put shade over his head. So, you know, these they were so merged in the ocean of bliss, they were not noticing any material inconvenience. But in that mood, whenever he was approached by somebody with money, he advised them to construct temples, like the Radha Govinda Temple was constructed by a wealthy person who wanted to give some service under the guidance of Rupa Goswami. So he advised them, use your money to construct a very nice temple for Krishna Seva. So that example is there. But what he did with his personal money in terms of how he used it for Krishna Seva, I don't know. All right, anything else? Yes, Prem Sankirtan Prabhu. I just want to save a little time. There's one paragraph from Chaitanya Charitamrita about Devananda Pandit I wanted to.
Hare Krishna. Hare
Bom.
Hare Krishna. According to this verse, if sannyasi, for example, in our moment, fall down, but somebody preached to him and he again pick up the process and that he can again can be established in sannyasa order.
Yes. Yes.
And also even guru.
Yeah, but we have to see that, the, you know, how serious this individual is. some are very serious, some are not. I have first an example of them. I'm not going to name any names, but somebody who was a guru, sannyasi in our movement, fell away, and then wanted to come back. But he approached the GBC in the mood that he wanted to be immediately reinstated in his position, even though it was seen that, you know, not necessarily practicing properly. And so they rejected that proposal, and he became very angry. So, whereas others who have fallen down, they've taken the humble position and they've, you know, gradually come back and tried to do some menial service and reestablish themselves in that way. So that's the proper way. Not that one comes back demanding, okay, I'm back, give me back my disciples and my, you know, this and that. No, not like that. And I had personal experience of how whimsical this person was. We were in Manhattan. We used to go out in the summertime on a flatbed truck and just drive around and the devotees would chant. And in this way, you know, interact with the public and spread the Mahamantra. So this person one day, he came out on the truck and he decided that he wanted to drive the truck. Okay, and I let him drive. And we're coming across 42nd Street in Manhattan. You get to 5th Avenue and there are clear signs, no right turn. No right turn. But this person, because he was so, you know, let's say a little bit full of himself, he made a right turn, and sure enough, as soon as he turned, the cops were there. It was a trap. Pulled us over. Not only did he break the law in that way, but he didn't have a driver's license. He didn't have any papers of any kind like that. So it was a sticky situation. Fortunately, I had my license, so I told the cop, I'll drive the truck home like that. They wanted to impound the vehicle. So this is how, you know, if you're not in the right mentality, you can get not only yourself, but other devotees in trouble. So, yes, one can be reinstated. But it should be a gradual process, and it should be seen that the person is actually very serious and not just demanding. Okay, so just a few minutes. Let me read this paragraph about Devananda Pandit. There's a lot we could say, but we don't have a lot of time. So this is text 77 of the 10th chapter of Adi Leela. Devananda Pandit was a professional reciter of Srimad Bhagavatam, but by the mercy of Vakreshwar Pandit and the grace of the Lord, he understood the devotional interpretation of the Bhagavatam purport. In the Chaitanya Bhagavat, Madhya Kanda, chapter 21, it is stated that Devananda Pandit and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's father, Visharada, lived in the same village. Devananda Pandit was a professional reciter of Srimad Bhagavatam, but Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not like his interpretation of it. In the present town of Navadvipa, which was formerly known as Kulia, Lord Chaitanya showed such mercy to him that he gave up the Mayavadi interpretation of Srimad Bhagavatam and learned how to explain Srimad Bhagavatam in terms of bhakti. Formerly, when Devananda was expounding the Mayavadi interpretation, Srivas Thakur was once present in his meeting. And when he began to cry, you know, Srivas Thakur was crying out of ecstasy just from hearing Bhagavatam, even from a Mayavadi. When he began to cry, Devananda's students drove him away. Some days later, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu passed that way, and when he met Devananda, he chastised him severely because of his Mayavadi interpretation of Srimad Bhagavatam. At that time, Devananda had little faith in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as an incarnation of Lord Krishna. But one night, sometime later, Bhakeshwar Pandit was a guest in his house, and when he explained the science of Krishna, Devananda was convinced about the identity of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Thus, he was induced to explain Srimad Bhagavatam according to the Vaishnava understanding. In the Gaura Ganesh Deepika, it is described that he was formerly Bhagari Muni, the Shabha Pandit, who recited Vedic literatures in the house of Nanda Maharaj. So even though Lord Chaitanya was inclined to give him his mercy, he instructed him that he had to go and get forgiveness from Srivas Thakur. And Srivas Thakur, being a soft-hearted devotee, immediately said, yes, of course, I forgive you for what happened. So we're out of time. Thank you very much for your kind attention. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaura Bhaktavrinda ki jai. Devananda Pandit Prabhu ki jai. Hari Bol. Actually, yesterday, I said, oh, it's not a...